Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on heavy metals when we come back. Back in 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause at Article 1, Section 10. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt." That clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we see in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Well, private business is carried on in gold and silver coin. Public business is conducted in commercial paper. Commercial paper are things like stocks and bonds and Federal Reserve notes, credit and credit cards, debt and usury. Well, back in 1965, our Congress said that there's no difference in the value of gold and silver coin versus the clad coin and our currency. And that's very true when we're dealing with banks and government and commercial industries. But out in the real marketplace, there's a 7-to-1 difference in the purchasing power of gold over paper, and there's a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes that are due on that paper versus gold. Now, God and our founding fathers didn't give us gold and silver coin for no good purpose. They knew that as a matter of law, a gold and silver coin was absolutely necessary for you and I to deal in order for us to establish our property rights. Well, neither did our Congress and neither did our politicians take our gold and silver coin away from us for no good reason either. These people knew, and they knew full well back in 1933 when they did it, that in order to subjugate a free people, they would first have to take away the people's gold and silver coin, to take away the people's right to property, and to destroy those property rights. Now, if you and I intend to regain our property rights, our duties, our capacities, then we must first regain our property and property rights, because property is the legal foundation for all of our liberties. So let me teach you how to do just that. This is in our business school, which is now on compact disc for adult homeschool. Now, if you'd like more information about our private business school, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first. That's the place to start. It doesn't cost you anything. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and it's free. So you can call right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Our business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more now, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, let's talk about heavy metals. Heavy metals. We think of heavy metals as things like mercury toxicity or lead poisoning. And that's certainly true, but there's another metal that's aluminum. It's not really a heavy metal, it's a light metal. And it's a deadly toxin. Deadly toxin. It's associated with Alzheimer's disease. Just like mercury is associated with autism. Now, the people that are in the CDC, the Food and Drug Administration, they're out here in industry, they know this. I mean, I'm just a crummy plumber, and if a plumber can figure this out, surely the people with letters after their names, who are a lot smarter than I am, know more than I do. So I'm just going to relate to you like old Will Rogers used to say, all I know is what I read in the papers. Hell, all I know is what I get off the Internet or I see on Katie Couric, you know, and I just watch the news, you know, with Jim Laird, just like you and everybody else. And if we can figure this out from the mainstream press and from what's available to us on the Internet, you can rest assured that the good folks at the Food and Drug Administration, who get paid buku bucks for figuring all this out, they also know this. And it raises a question. If nothing else, it ought to raise a moral question. How do these people sleep at night knowing that they're poisoning us and that they're concerned about important things, you know, important things like shutting off raw milk? I was reading the Acres magazine the other day, and in California, they've launched a new initiative to stamp out raw milk in California. Now, nobody's died from raw milk, to my knowledge. I say no one. I don't know of a single person's died drinking raw milk over the last year or 5 years or 10 or 20 or 50 years. But the California Department of Agriculture, they've got a vendetta. They've been on this for the last 50 or 75 years. They're one of the few states in the nation that hasn't stamped out raw milk for sale to the general public. And they're, by God, they're going to do it, you know, come hell or high water. And it's probably a noble cause, and it's probably a very valuable and worthwhile objective. I'm not here to criticize or argue with them. I'm just here to make a report. But here's something that doesn't kill anybody, raw milk, versus aluminum, which kills a bunch of people, and this is by their own admission. And I don't see the FDA or the CDC or anybody else out here actually working very hard to stamp out aluminum in our food supply to protect us from the diseases that we know about and the number of people that are being killed every year that they can document. It kind of reminds me of the PETA people, you know, or the people that get real excited about oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Things that don't kill people and don't have any real relevance in the world. People, God, they just get to go berserk. You take something that's pretty serious, like toxic heavy metals or like iatrogenic disease or something like that, that's killing people by the tens of thousands. And there's a piece, I got to give you a number here. This is really good. Talking about iatrogenic disease. Now, iatrogenic disease, that's the kind of disease that's caused by doctors. Totally preventable. That's where a doctor, you know, who can't write. He's got a degree after his name, but you can't read anything he puts on paper. He writes out a prescription. The guy takes the prescription down to the druggist. The druggist reads the prescription. He fills it and gives it to the guy, who goes home and promptly dies. And then when they investigate, they find out that, oh, no, the prescription wasn't for this. It was for that. And they gave him the wrong prescription. And so the reason that we got this wrong prescription is because the pharmacist couldn't read the doctor's handwriting. I guess he thought he could, but he didn't, and he got the wrong prescription. And so this guy dies. Now, how many people die every year from mistakes like that? Well, the number of people here in the United States who die, iatrogenic deaths, that's iatrogenic deaths, is estimated by Dr. Barbara Starfield to be approximately 225 to 284,000 a year, which include 106,000 deaths from properly prescribed drugs. Now, these aren't illegal drugs. This is properly prescribed by the doctor. Now, assuming that we can read the doctor's handwriting, just prescribing the wrong drug or the wrong amount of drug kills 106,000 a year. Now, remember, these are from the CDC. These are the numbers that they admit to. Gary Null comes along and he says, oh, that's the government covering up again. It's really 786,000. He says, you know, it's pushing 750,000 out here. And they're admitting, you know, to 100,000. Well, get this. In other categories of iatrogenic disease deaths, like malnutrition perpetuated in the hospitals, bed sores and infections kill 108,000, 115,000, and 88,000 respectively. Now, that's 311,000. Now, the high end of these numbers represents 6 jumbo jets falling out of the sky each and every day, and that's just for the population of the United States. So for you people living in South Korea or Formosa or Japan or Brazil or someplace, you know, hell, it's going on in your country just like it is here. It's just that here in the United States, we're the world's leader. I mean, we kill more people this way than you people in South Korea, but, you know, you're killing a bunch over there, too, doing the same things and getting your medicine and getting your plans the same way that we do here in the West. And that's why I say, you know, we get excited about things like the price of gas is $4 a gallon, and God, it's on the news every night. And if a jumbo jet falls out of the sky and kills 300, 400, 500 people, my God, that'll be on the news for a week. But the equivalent of 6 jumbo jets dropping out of the sky every day, that's 3,000 people a day now, isn't it? Let's see how many that is, 311,000 divided by 365, is that right? 6 jumbo jets a day is what he's saying here. Let's take 6 times 365. That'd be 2,190 jumbo jets. Times, let's call 300 people. Well, that's 657,000. So I guess they're not figuring that there's 300 people on them. I guess these are 6 jumbo jets falling out of the sky with this 150 on them. But that's 3 jumbo jets with a day times 300. You know, that's 900 people a day. It would seem like to me that if 900 people a day were dying in these jumbo jets every day, that the FAA and the government and everybody would just be up in arms, wouldn't they? So it looks like to me that what's going on here is that we got a tempest in a teapot, So I thought, well, what's going on with this thing of mercury? You heard about mercury, didn't you? Well, mercury, they put it in our teeth, and it's 50% mercury and 50% silver. Put that in your teeth. Now, this mercury over here is a deadly toxin, like lead, cadmium, mercury, arsenic, barium, beryllium, chromium, cobalt, and selenium. These are the top 9 heavy metals that cause death that we know about. That we've documented, and we've got numbers on, and we can sit here and chew the rag over. Now, where do we get all this lead and cadmium and mercury and arsenic and so on? Well, the mercury comes right from your dentist, for crying out loud. He's sticking this stuff in your teeth. And then we've got an agency here in the United States. It's called the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and they say, well, we're only going to allow 2 parts per billion. That's spelled with a B. 2 parts. That's 2 parts per billion of mercury in your water. Or in to be absorbed every day. In other words, you should not absorb more than 2 parts per billion. Hell, you're getting 10 times that out of your fillings in your head every day. I mean, if you got a mercury, just 1 mercury filling in your head, you're getting 10 times more mercury in your bloodstream, in your head, in your body every day from that 1 mercury filling than the EPA says is safe for you to be absorbing every day. Now, right away, that says to me, well, somebody's not in communication here. Because the same government that says 2 parts per billion is the accepted level, and I don't know if 2 parts per billion is healthy or not. I don't know any more about it than you do, but that's what they're telling me. So now if 2 parts per billion is accepted and that's safe, and 10 times that is 20 parts per billion, and that's unsafe, but that's what I'm getting from my mercury fillings, then shouldn't somebody be jumping up and down and getting all excited about stamping this stuff out of our mercury fillings and shutting the dentist down from sticking that mercury in our mouths instead of jumping up and down and trying to shut off raw milk in California? It would seem like to me that you could save more lives, you could do more good, you could accomplish more by shutting off the mercury in dental fillings than you could by shutting off raw milk in California. Now that's from their numbers. I'm not just inventing this. I didn't get this off the top of my head. I'm not that smart. Hell, if I was that smart, I'd be doing something more constructive. All right, now here's the article that we just triggered my thinking on this thing. It's in the June issue of Acres USA. So if you don't subscribe to Acres, you should. And that's because it's only $35 a year, I think it is. Let me see if there's a number. $37. No. Let me back up here. $27 a year here in the States. $37 a year worldwide. U.S. funds apply only. Single copies are $5. $27 a year, and it comes out once a month, and it's about 100 pages. Let's see how much that is. That's 1,200 pages divided by 2,700 cents. So if you had 2,700 cents and you divided that by 1,200 pages a year, it costs you 2.25 cents a page. 2 cents a page. And here's a three-page article. Cost me about less than a dime for this three-page article. And the article itself is worth the $27. If I didn't learn anything more from Acres USA than this one three-page article on aluminum, valued servant and dangerous master. It's written by Charlie Walters. Now, Walters is the guy that founded or created this thing called Acres USA, and he's an agricultural writer. Listen to this. He said, most of the English-speaking world has a fine time pronouncing aluminum. That's what old Charlie or Larry Sykes used to call it, aluminum, down here in the Ozarks. Pronouncing aluminum with a heavy min, an extra syllable, instead of the American aluminum. Well, no matter. That strange element carries the symbol Al, has an atomic number 13. Atomic weight is 26.9185. Its industrial biography, fleshed out, might be as long as Gone with the Wind. Change the plane of observation to biology and a thin volume would suffice. So when we take a look at aluminum as it relates to medicine, you're not going to find much information. If you want to take a look at aluminum in its industrial capacity, oh my God, I mean, that stuff's pretty important. On the Ulri Standard Genetic Periodic Chart, published in Minerals for the Genetic Code, aluminum carries position number 39. It's an AUU codon and figures in the production of isoleucine as a building block for protein. It's hard to have done with the fascination that attends even a casual look at the element. Aluminum, like gold, is infinitely malleable. It is said that 1.5 pounds of aluminum can be stretched into a wire that is so fine that it could circle the entire world, 25,000 miles. Treated by industrial magic, it wraps guns and airplanes with skins so strong that they rival steel. But this showy success comes at a price. There's a byproduct of industry, and it's a compound, commonly called fluoride. And this byproduct, possibly the greatest cancer causer on the Mendeleev chart, is used to mass medicate the people of America who rely upon water mains in fluoridated cities. Now, the name Humphrey Davy comes up repeatedly in these articles. His fame as a chemist rests with the fact that so many of the elements that we now move over from industry, in fact, figure in human health, or the lack thereof. But it was this fellow, Humphrey Davy, who kissed clay with sulfuric acid in one of his experiments and discerned the existence of a new element. This was back in 1807. By 1825, the world knew that aluminum was never available as a pre-mined product, such as gold or copper. Its bauxite clay, or mud, summons the ingenuity of modern technology for purification in all of its malleable forms. Pure aluminum was first produced in 1825 by Hans Christian Oersted. He was a Danish chemist. His story is almost exactly that of Marie Curie's tryst with radioactive ore at the turn of the last century. Oersted left his notes for later generations. He heated aluminum chloride and potassium mercury amalgam until the mercury was evaporated. This process left a hunk of aluminum, and it took only a few moments in terms of history for Frederick Wohler, a German chemist, to develop a process that could produce commercial amounts of aluminum. This was back in 1827. Just for your information, there are several museums around the world that have aluminum artifacts that have been dug up from ancient times that are pure aluminum. So we rediscovered aluminum in more modern times in 1825, but the reality of it is aluminum has been around in human experience for thousands of years. Now, there's some aluminum lore that goes with this. The short Priestess contained in Minerals for the Genetic Code invites iteration and reiteration because it touches many bases and opens the window for research, still asking for entry at the clinical door nearby. When the human gut senses the presence of aluminum, it shuts down the absorption process. Still, the body has a way of utilizing the aluminum in the food chain, and some bacteria actually use it. The key here is that aluminum is a trace element. It's a trace amount. Excess is always the problem. A little bit's good, but a whole lot isn't. Aluminum-based deodorant must now be indicted. People are poisoning themselves by using these anti-sweat products. Most people now understand that aluminum cookware is hazardous. Insects and rodents do not like aluminum-based baked products. Such baking powders are anathema to human beings. So we have aluminum in our deodorants and aluminum in our baking powder. Among senior citizens, the syndrome is Alzheimer's disease, an aluminum toxicity problem. Aluminum inhibits boron, with one aluminum molecule knocking out three boron molecules. And the chief culprit is processed foods. American cheese best melts on the hamburger because of added aluminum. So there's a third item there. American cheese on your cheeseburger is putting aluminum into your body. Now, this aluminum now is like, if I said, hey, let's go down to the store and buy some aluminum cookware, I don't think you could anymore. After World War II, it was the rage. I remember as a kid, the aluminum pots and pans, my granny went down and bought a bunch of them. And then one day somebody said, oh, this aluminum is toxic and it's killing us, and then aluminum just disappeared. And everybody threw the aluminum out. They started using the dog dishes. You know, we'd feed the dog out of the aluminum pots, you know, outside on the ground. And so we stopped using those. And so I think that the average American thinks that, well, I'm protected from aluminum because we don't have any aluminum cookware. Have you noticed, boys and girls, the amount of foods that are canned in aluminum cans? I mean, you know, you go into the store and you buy a Coke and it's an aluminum can. Now, let me ask you this. If you wouldn't eat food out of an aluminum pot, why would you drink Coke out of an aluminum can? I just thought I'd throw that out there for you to consider. Because Americans aren't very consistent with logic. I don't know if it's because we're so busy watching, you know, Dr. Phil and Oprah that we haven't got a brain left, you know, to think with. But I gave you a report here on on this Coca-Cola. I mean, that stuff is pretty damn toxic even by itself. If you put a nail in Coca-Cola, I forgot what the time was, it'll dissolve a nail in a month or so or a week. Now, if Coca-Cola can dissolve a nail in a week, do you think maybe it could dissolve a little bit of aluminum off the side of the can into the Coke that you're drinking? I don't know. Thought crossed my mind, though. And I got to thinking about that, and so now I try to avoid aluminum containers. You know what I mean? Just been doing this for years and years. I figured years ago that if they told me that aluminum cookware was bad for me, I put two and two together and said, well, probably. Aluminum foil, you know, that you wrap your turkey into cooking, probably ain't too good for you either. I mean, if you wouldn't cook this turkey in an aluminum pan, why would you cook this turkey in aluminum foil? So we're going to cook him in a steel pan, wrap him in aluminum foil because we're suffering from an aluminum shortage? Is that what you got a shortage of aluminum? Do you get up in the morning and take your multivitamin with aluminum? Or is it a multivitamin with iron, fortified with iron? Now, iron's got some value to it, but aluminum, they tell us, doesn't have any value at all. In fact, it's toxic. So that I throw that out there for you. Now, among senior citizens, the syndrome is called Alzheimer's disease. You know, Alzheimer's. Aluminum-based deodorant, American cheese, baking powder. Now, food coloring also stands out in detail. If the suffix like or lake, L-A-K-E, appears in connection with a food coloring, it designates an aluminum-based ingredient. So when you're making food coloring, you know, to make the little kiddies happy, you know, at their birthday party, you're putting aluminum into their food. Now, how much aluminum can you put in there? Well, you can put in a lifetime's worth. I mean, you can put in aluminum, and you can keep using deodorant and American cheese on your hamburger and so on. And you can do that until you're 40, 50, 60 years old, and then your memory starts to fade. Then you go to the doctor, and he says, oh, you've got Alzheimer's disease. And then you go, you gasp, you know, like Judy Hartson, and you say, oh, my God, why me? Well, why not you? I mean, after all, you've been living your life just like the average Joe Sixpack. Why not you? I mean, after all, that baking powder, you know that they're putting aluminum. Now, here's the point I'm trying to make. Do you think that the people that are putting aluminum into your table salt so that it will pour, or aluminum in your deodorant, nor aluminum in the American cheese so that it melts uniformly over the hamburger, do you think that those people do not know what the toxic effects of aluminum are? I mean, come on, kids. You and I might not know, you know, being plumbers and truck drivers and housewives, but you mean the people that are actually doing this? I mean, think about this in pragmatic terms. Haven't you heard about the toxicity of mercury? Haven't you heard about the toxicity of lead? Have you never heard of the toxicity of aluminum? Do you mean to tell me that the good folks at the CDC and the Food and Drug Administration, the Department of Agriculture, at Kraft Foods, Monsanto, they've never heard of the toxicity of aluminum? And they're sticking it into your cheese, your deodorant? They're sticking it into the aspirin that you take? Come on. Boys and girls, let's wake up and smell the coffee, shall we? Not only do they know it, they know it and they know what it does to us. That's the tragic part. These guys know what it does to us. You and I don't know until we read an article. You know, Charles Walters, you know, he said, well, let's take a look at this thing, put a 3-page article in here. And so I took a look at this and I said, oh my God, if this is going on, what about lead and mercury? What about this thing called heavy metals? What about cobalt and chromium, beryllium, barium, cadmium? Have you heard about those toxic elements? What foods are those in? What common, ordinary, everyday garden variety exposure do you and I have to lead, cadmium, mercury, arsenic, barium, beryllium, chromium, cobalt, and selenium that we don't know anything about? But here's what's more important. We'll cover this a little later. What do you do to get rid of it? You know, when you go to the doctor and he says, well, I think you've got Alzheimer's. You've got an onset of Alzheimer's. At that point, what should you do? What do you think we should do? Well, if Alzheimer's is caused by aluminum toxicity, wouldn't it be a good idea to get all of the aluminum in your body out of your body? Wouldn't that be a logical place to start? Example, if you went to the doctor and you said, I'm really feeling bad, he does some tests and says, you're suffering from arsenic poisoning. This goes on in the world, especially in India, where I guess they've got a lot of arsenic in the groundwater. And so they'll drill a well, and pretty soon the people in the village are getting sick, and they come out and test the water, and say, oh my God, this water is full of arsenic. And do you know what they do in India when they've got a well that's full of arsenic? They cap the well and they stop taking the water out of it. Now, that just makes all the sense in the world to me. You're getting arsenic and the arsenic is causing ill health. Your hair's falling out. You're getting sick. People are dying. And you've got arsenic poisoning. All right, now let's try it this way. Let's suppose that you were diagnosed with aluminum poisoning. What would you do? Do doctors say, well, let's stop using deodorant. Let's stop taking aspirin. Let's stop taking buffered aspirin. Let's stop taking, you know, American cheese on our hamburgers, and let's go on an active program and let's clean your body out of all of the aluminants in it. Is that the place that we start with Alzheimer's disease? I haven't heard that. So let me throw that one out there as a thought. Probably the logical thing to do would be to get all the aluminum out of your body. Here's one more thought going, you know, a step further. Would it make sense to us then at this juncture of time, at age 25, 30, 35, before you have Alzheimer's disease, before you forget, would it make sense to avoid getting the aluminum toxicity to start with? Now, we started after World War II by using aluminum pots and pans. One day we woke up and said, well, when we cook with aluminum pots and pans, we're getting aluminum in our food. The food then is going into our bodies, and then that aluminum stays in our body. It doesn't just pass through. Now, it stays there. And then it causes damage later on. So somebody woke up and said, you know, we need to stop making aluminum pots and pans. And we did that. That was good sense. I think that made a lot of sense. Why then are we making aluminum foil? What sense does that make? What's this thing of grinding this aluminum up real fine and sticking it into baking powder so your baking powder doesn't cake? You know, we do that here at our house. So we put a little bit of rice in the salt shaker to absorb the moisture. Couldn't and wouldn't it be more logical to put a few grains of rice into the salt shaker rather than put aluminum chloride into the salt so that it doesn't cake? Well, it's just a thought. If aluminum pots and pans are bad for us, I can't understand why aluminum cans and aluminum foil and aluminum in our baking powder, American cheese, and our salt is good for us. Seems like to me that it'd be just as bad for us whether we're getting it off the pots and pans or whether we're getting it off of the aluminum foil or the cheese from the hamburger. What do you think? Let me pause right here, put my arrow in the margin, and remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in 112 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the law hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. All of these law hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the law hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school direct and asking for it. Number to call is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Please keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, talking about aluminum, as old Larry Sykes used to say, aluminum. He came over one time, he told me, he said, I'm collecting aluminum. And I looked at him with a blank stare, aluminum, aluminum, what the hell is that? And he kept, aluminum, aluminum. Pretty soon he went out to his pickup and he brought in an aluminum can. He said, aluminum, aluminum. Aluminum, I said, aluminum. Charlie Walter says that isn't even the right way to pronounce it. I don't know how to pronounce it, but aluminum is not classically identified as one of the nine heavy metals that are a problem. But I got started on this by reading Charlie Walter's article here in Acres USA. If you'd like to get a copy, it's $5 for the June issue. That's the June 2008 issue of Acres. Let me give you a number to call. I just subscribe while I'm at it. There isn't a month that goes by that I don't learn something out of Acres. It's worth the $27 a year here in the States, $37 if you're living in South Korea or Brazil. It's readily worth the $37. It's a source of information. It's a source of authoritative information that I rank right up there with the Encyclopedia Britannica. And the reason for that is that they do a lot of research here at Acres USA. I mean, they get into things and they research it out and they footnote it carefully and they cite their sources and they're pretty good about that, and so I like that. Anyway, the executive editor is a guy named Charles Walter. His boy, Fred, is the managing editor and the publisher. $27 a year there at, you want to call him? Phone number is 512-892-4400. If you get that down, it's 512-892-4400. I suppose if you just stuck a $5 bill in an envelope and sent it to Post Office Box 91299, that's P.O. Box 91299, Austin, Texas, and the zip code is 78709, 78709, and I suppose if you were to put a dash 1299, and that's for their Post Office Box, then I think they'd probably get that all right. P.O. Box, $5, tell them you want the June issue of 2008. You're looking for the article on aluminum. They'll love you for it. All right, food coloring also stands out in detail. If the suffix lake, L-A-K-E, appears in connection with food coloring, it designates an aluminum-based ingredient. Indeed, it has become commercial sport to poison America by way of concoctions that look like food and even taste like food. Magnification of the ingredient list will reveal at least one or two or three aluminum-based food colorings. These product colorings are in candy for any Halloween trick-or-treat fun. Children are likely to come home with 75% of their booty being aluminum contaminated. All of the candies on the racks are aluminum based. Hey, did you get that? All of the candies on the racks are aluminum based. All. A-L-L. Is there anything about all you don't understand? The agency of ill health being food dyes. Now, the opposite valence of plus 3 is minus 3. Thus, in the human body, the plus 3 aluminum seeks out a minus 3. And it finds it in the brain in terms of phosphorus, which is minus 3. Aluminum from Detroit drinking water has been fed to lab rats and showed up in the brain tissue in 4 to 7 minutes. Okay, let me repeat that. Somebody up in Detroit took tap water out of the Detroit public water system, fed it to laboratory rats, and the aluminum in the water appeared in the rat's brain in 7 minutes. All right. Now, it's been connected with Alzheimer's disease. Here's what's going on. They'll autopsy some guy that dies after having been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And they find out that he has a high amount, I don't know how high, but a high amount, higher than normal amount, of aluminum in his brain. And this aluminum also, for you pregnant ladies out there, goes right through the placenta into your fetus. So just in case you wanted to poison your baby before he's born, what you need to do is drink more tap water from Detroit. So it goes right into your brain, and then it lodges there because of the phosphorus. And so that's why it's in your brain more than it's in your kidneys or in your bones or some other location in your body. Now, in the presence of aluminum, boron drops out. In an effort to reduce aluminum, silicon is spent. The structure of the brain is compromised. Yttrium is canceled out. The tragedy of America can be seen in nursing homes full of healthy bodies that are walking around without brains to tell those bodies what to do. And I thought that was a good way to put that, Charlie. Americans, nursing homes are filled with healthy bodies that do not have brains to tell those bodies what to do. Underline that. Hell of a good line, Charlie. Almost all municipalities add aluminum sulfate to the water supply in order to clear up turbidity. I don't know what turbidity is, but whatever it is, we want to clear it up. So we're going to put this deadly toxic poison aluminum sulfate into your water supply. A small part of this aluminum remains to be added to the other sources of aluminum found in processed foods, baking powder, cosmetics, and the ambient air pollution. The impact of this technology was felt immediately in clinics for dialysis of renal patients. Aluminum and fluorine soon required distilled water for dialysis, the alternative being sudden death, also known as dialysis dementia. So listen to this. Let's suppose that you've got kidney failure. And Charlie Walters has kidney failure. He has to go in, I think he told me, 3 times a week for dialysis. I was talking to him one day on the telephone. I said, "Hey, Charlie, what's going on?" And he told me. He goes in 3 times a week for dialysis because I wanted to do a little project for me. So I can't. I'm sick. I said, "Oh, I hear you, Charlie." Well, anyway, I guess because he's on dialysis, it came to his attention here that when they first started this dialysis, they just used tap water and killed their patients because the aluminum concentration in the tap water, when you're going through this dialysis process, goes through it in such quantities that it causes dialysis dementia. So, listen, the allopathic medical doctors, who are the people who invented and came up with this dialysis to keep you kidney patients alive, are fully aware of this aluminum problem, aren't they? I mean, hell, they've already killed people with it and said, "Oh, well, we've got to use distilled water." So if you can't use tap water on dialysis patients, why in the hell would we want to drink tap water? If aluminum pots and pans aren't good for us, what in the hell makes aluminum foil and aluminum cans good for us? See my point? I mean, we get really excited. You know, we jump up and down, and we're going to stamp out raw milk in California. It doesn't kill anybody. You know, there's some inspector working for the Food and Drug Administration out in California, the Department of Agriculture. He's going to get up this morning to go to work to stamp out raw milk in California. And he's going to rub on some deodorant under his underarms. One of these days, that same guy's going to end up in a nursing home with a strong body with no brain to direct it. And he was out there working for all of us, trying to stamp out an evil, a wickedness, raw milk, and killed himself. Like President Reagan. I'm sure that President Reagan died, you know, with Alzheimer's disease. You remember that story? And he was an old man. He was 92 years old, as I recall, 90 or 91 or something like that. And in the last 10, 12 years of his life, he was deteriorating with Alzheimer's disease. I imagine as an actor every day before he went to work, he rubbed on underarm deodorant with aluminum in it, you know, so it'd flow on nice and easy, so that he wouldn't offend his co-stars with bad underarms, you know, when he was out working on the set, kissing all those beautiful women. And doing his, applying his craft and doing his trade, one thing and another. And he ate jelly beans. Remember them jelly beans had food dye in, that was aluminum. So in the process of just living our lives, doing our thing, we're out here killing ourselves and we don't seem to understand it. We get excited when a 747 falls out of the sky, and I would say rightfully so. We don't seem to get very excited about Alzheimer's patients that are in the nursing home. Now, maybe you didn't because you're a plumber or a truck driver, but hey, listen, the people who we rely upon, the paid professionals, they all know this. Do you mean to tell me that some crummy newspaper editor, some magazine writer, Charlie Walters, is smarter than the Food and Drug Administration? You mean to tell me that Charlie Walters is smarter than the CDC and the Department of Agriculture and all the medical doctors that are coming out of our universities? And what about the professors that are training and teaching the medical doctors? They don't know this? Huh? Let me tell you from a lawyer's perspective what the problem is here. The reason that nobody wants to fess up and say, okay, here's what aluminum is doing, is because of the legal liability that is attached to it. The reason that the American Dental Association is still using mercury in their fillings is because they've killed a lot of people in the past and they know it, and they're going to kill a lot of people in the future and they know it, but the penalty is all the same. It doesn't make any difference how many people you kill. It's just getting caught killing one. That's the legal liability. So they know that mercury is highly toxic. I mean, hell, any of us know that. Hell, we've read that. We heard that on Katie Couric, for crying out loud. That's mainstream press. That's nothing new. But if at any time it were to come out and we could actually hang a label on it, did you see what happened to the tobacco industry? They got a $257 billion out-of-court settlement, an agreement. So they just raised the price of cigarettes to $5 a pack to cover it. So all you smokers out there get to pay for that. Now, I don't know if that's important to you or not, but I just wanted to let you know that there's a legal liability. And if at any time thimerosal is determined to be the cause of autism, then all the people with autism out there, you know, they're going to come back and they're going to say, hey, we're going to sue. And then that's why Dick Armey put that rider onto an appropriations bill to protect all of the vaccine manufacturers so that you can't sue them. See, the pharmaceutical companies, they took a look at what happened to the tobacco industry and said, hey, listen, we're out here killing people with thimerosal in our vaccines, just like nicotine's killing people with lung cancer, so therefore we got to have a protection. So they went to the legislature, and they got the Congress to give them a protection. How do you like that? So if your kid got Alzheimer's and we find out that thimerosal is the cause of it, which one of these days it'll come out? I mean, it's inevitable one of these days. But meanwhile, back on the farm, instead of giving your kid 35 vaccines between the time he's 2 months old and 5 years and running the risk of getting autism, why don't you wise up and stop doing that? Now, one child out of 68 comes down with autism, just one out of 68. And they tell us that that's an acceptable risk. Okay, so if you're one of those 67 mothers, your kid's got 35 shots and your kid didn't get autism, okay, you lucked out. But if you're one of those whose kid came down with autism, you want to remember that you're the one that took them in to get those vaccines. I mean, you're the proximate cause of your own injury, ladies. And so almost all municipalities add aluminum sulfate to the water supply in order to clear up the turbidity. A small part of this aluminum remains to be added to the other sources of aluminum found in processed foods, baking powder, cosmetics, and ambient air pollution. The impact of this technology was felt immediately in clinics for dialysis of renal patients. Aluminum and fluorine soon required distilled water for dialysis, the alternative being sudden death, also known as dialysis dementia. I thought that was worth repeating. Yeah, they all know it. There isn't anybody out there in the medical world that doesn't know what aluminum does. You and I might not know, but they all know. And they all go to bed at night. I guess for life, I can't understand how the hell those fools can sleep. Now, a final note is in order here. We're rightly concerned about the mercury component of vaccines. How then can we be so indifferent to the near universal acceptance of flu shots that increase the chance of getting Alzheimer's disease by 10% because of the aluminum directly injected into the bloodstream? There seems to be no end to the contamination. Now, aluminum service in underarm deodorant becomes a dangerous master as the metal neutralizes the nerves. Did you know that? You see, you spread on this aluminum under your underarms over here, and it neutralizes your nerves so that they cannot expel perspiration. Well, now, isn't that just real special? Now, here's God, the designer of your body, the engineer. He took a look at this, and he said, we need to sweat. We need to perspire. We need this perspiration mechanism built into your body. So he builds that in. And we come along and we say, oh no, God, that stuff stinks like hell. We gotta shut that off. Makes us smarter than God, doesn't it? And then we go on to the next step over here. Few calculate the mischief caused by aluminum as a salt, anti-caking ingredient, now on the market for approximately 60 years, courtesy of the Morton Table Salt Company. Indeed, silica aluminate has been added to processed foods, canned foods, etc., meaning all the rest, etc. That means all the rest. The resultant Alzheimer's disease remains a mystery only because the FDA is a musical chairs operation between government and industry. Millions of older people are sacrificed to the deity called the dogma of dumb experts. I like that one, Charlie. Another good line. The dogma of dumb experts. I'm going to underline that. Consumers are becoming aware of aluminum-contaminated drinking water, the agent for health destruction being aluminum sulfate. The contaminant takes only 3 seconds to make it to the brain of test rat animals. And it takes hardly more time to assault the human brain. As our inventory of dangers and killer havoc stacks up, one might well ask, is there nothing good you can say about servant aluminum? For excess aluminum, the answer is no, but then our modifiers kick in. Nature alone seems capable of rationing aluminum for the living system, and this is the message that arrives from Vietnam by way of agency of researcher Yoshiki Omura, whose findings follow anon. Omura analyzed the Vietnamese diet and took note of the fact that it's high in cilantro, also known as coriander or Chinese parsley. He also found that the incidence of Alzheimer's disease there was the lowest in the Eastern Bloc, and he noted excretions of between 300 and 500 milligrams of aluminum per urinary void. It was an astonishing finding, but it remains buried in the literature, read by only a few clinicians. All right, now let me pause right here because here's the answer to the riddle. Evidently, this guy's a Jap. Sounds like a Jap to me. Omura analyzed the Vietnamese diet. Chinese parsley, it's known as coriander. It's a spice, coriander. boys and girls, you need to add coriander to your diet. And the coriander will lock onto the aluminum in your body and then expel it. Because in Vietnam, where they use a lot of coriander, evidently their food, you know, is so rotten, so bad, so tasteless, or so bland, that they have to use coriander to kill the taste of it. And so they use a lot of it. But they don't have any Alzheimer's disease. And so they took a look and said, well, what is it that these Vietnamese are doing? Now, they've done this around the world. They go over to certain people, you know, and they say, well, let's analyze these people. They don't have any cancer. These people, they don't have any Alzheimer's disease. Why is that? So I take a look at their diet. And then some inventive doctor like this doctor, how's his name again? Omura, does a little research. And then when they figure this all out, they say, oh, my God, let's bury that as deep as we can find a place to bury it. Because look what this is going to do to industry in the United States. Look what this might do in the United States, or around the world for that matter. And so they bury it. I imagine this Dr. Omura is probably an allopathic medical doctor. Almost all of the great discoveries in medicine are founded by allopathic medicine doctors. But if they find out that it threatens the military-industrial complex, or it's going to threaten some perceived industry like the food industry or the pharmaceutical industry or somebody else, then they bury it like chelation. So the answer is, it's detoxification by coriander seed. Coriander. We'll talk more about detoxification as we proceed. All right, I'm about out of time, so I've got to give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world daily in more than 112 countries over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian, non-commercial law school and is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Here, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.